Hello there, my fellow Podverse travelers. I wanted to start off this episode with a special announcement, I guess you could say. Before we get to the episode, I'm going to take a moment to address the June 24th, 2022 Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the legal right to have a safe and legal abortion, restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. This decision could also lead to the loss of other rights. To learn more about what you can do to help, go to podvoices.help. I encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word. You're listening to Find a Podcast About. Thank you for hitting play. I'm your host, Timothy Chemo Bryan, and I bring my experience with podcasting since 2006 as a listener and a podcaster. I am here to help you outsmart the algorithm and find your next binge-worthy podcast. Here's how the show works. I comb the millions of podcasts currently available for free on various platforms. And then I come back to you with what I've found. Sure, you can use search engines for recommendations from many podcast apps. But I feel that getting a personal recommendation from a real, live, breathing person is still the best way to find the gems that are out there. The show is broken up into three halves. Yep, you guessed it. I'm a huge fan of Car Talk. Bear with me. The first half of the show is the stats. This gives you all the details about where to find the show, how many episodes, who's hosting the shows. Basically, this is for those that just want the stats. The second half of the show, I dig deeper into the show that I'm reviewing and let you know how well the hosts interact, talk about their audio quality, and let you know what I think about the show. Now, that last half of the show is where I talk about why the show is binge-worthy, where to start your journey, and I'll be reaching out to the hosts to see if they would like to discuss their show a little bit and talk about their podcasting journey. So, let's get going on this episode. In this episode, I will be reviewing Intelligence Squared US. Now, there are other Intelligence Squared podcasts out there, but for this episode, I'm going to be focusing on just the US version. Now, at the time of this recording, there were 751 episodes available for this podcast. That is a huge number to binge through. Now, the episodes I'm going to be reviewing were hosted by John Donovan, and each episode comes in at an average of 60 minutes, so they're easily digestible. And each episode seems to be just about right for the average listener. Now, this is a bit longer than the average podcast episode of 22 minutes, but this podcast isn't one that you will just listen to in one of your commutes. This podcast is one that you will need time to digest. The first episode was published on November the 28th of 2013, and so it's been around for quite some time. Now, the Apple Podcast description for this podcast reads as, "Intelligence Squared is the home of lively debate and deep dive discussion." The category that Intelligence Squared US falls under is politics and news, and the frequency is weekly, so you can see why they have so many episodes. They do hit all the major social media apps with, you know, Facebook and Instagram. Links, obviously, are going to be provided in the show notes. Listen Notes rates them in the top 0.05% of podcasts in their category. Now, starting with this show, I'm also going to be adding the Chartable stats, which show this podcast in the top 100 podcasts in their category, according to Apple. Again, links are going to be provided in the show notes. They do have a support page, and they do run ads in the show as a pre-roll and a mid-roll. Now, what does that mean to you as a podcast listener? Well, they do their ads at the start of the show and then later on, about in the middle of the show. Also, earlier episodes, pre-COVID, were done in front of a live audience and got their some of their support from ticket sales to the program. Are you happy with your podcast app? I know, hard question to answer. But let me ask you this. Does your app allow you to rate the podcast you're listening to? Hey, great if it does. But does it allow you to rate each and every episode that you listen to? Does your app allow you to join a community of other listeners and share and comment on your favorite podcasts? Now, if you're a podcaster, does the app that your listeners are using give you a tip jar so that that way they can support your show directly instead of paying fees to someone else? Well, GoodPods allows you as a listener and as a podcaster to rate and review all of the episodes of a podcast, as well as joining a community of other podcast enthusiasts to discuss that thing we all love, podcasts. Give it a shot. You may not go back to your old app, and you might find a community that is engaged and excited about the same things you are. Grab it on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Now, if you've heard any other of my episodes for Find a Podcast About, you've heard me say this before, but it's true. I wish I would have written down how I found this podcast, because this is the one that I recommend to other people who are looking for a podcast that can stimulate their intelligence. Great name for a podcast, anyways. Many of us live in an echo chamber and never think about what the other side, and I'm using quotes on that, you know, we never think about how the other side comes to their conclusions. Well, this podcast is great because it provides both sides of the argument that affects us in our daily life. Now, in the five episodes I'll be referencing, they come from different times in the life of this podcast. But all the episodes really make you scratch your head and think about the topic, and if the debaters can sway you with new information that you may not have been privy to. So let's put on our podcast engineering ears for just a moment and talk about the sound quality for this podcast. Now, the first thing that you're going to notice in the earlier episodes pre-COVID is that the show was done in front of a live audience in an auditorium. Now, initially, I would have thought that that would have been very echoey and almost, you know, unlistenable. Not trying to be a snob, but, you know, some podcasts out there are like that. However, the engineering on this podcast is great. There's, you know, very few or no echoes at all, and each of the debaters are mic'd properly. Now, even the audience is mic'd properly, and the questions they ask are clear and crisp. There is no bleed over between debaters that I would have expected in a lower quality podcast. They seem to put as much effort into making the show sound good as they do in making the topics relevant to their listeners. Now, post-pandemic, if we can call it that, they went to a Zoom-like room, and that's where the podcast begins to suffer, in my opinion. Now, as a podcaster who has guests occasionally, one thing I can't control is the guest's equipment and knowledge on how to use a microphone, nor can I control their environment. Now, the last episode I listened to for this review suffered from sirens and other environmental factors. Did that absolutely ruin the experience? Not really, but I can see where some people might get turned off from the change in production value. The content is there, but when you binge on this podcast, keep in mind that the later episodes after the start of the pandemic, it's going to be a little bit of a change. You know, I applaud them for continuing the show and providing the great content that they do. I just wish they would have spent more time on putting a more finished product out there. Now, we've all been part of those Zoom meetings where the sound is distracting and a pet suddenly decides to come in and demand their attention. And maybe it's a thing where we've learned to accept it and ignore it. But for me, I want my debates to sound great, and they have really set a high bar pre-pandemic versus post-pandemic with their sound quality. Now let's turn our attention to the format of the show. Now it's done in the tradition of an Oxford debate. Three rounds, and it sounds a little bit like this show to me. But the first round is opening arguments. Second round is questions by the host and from the audience. And the last round are closing arguments. Now, the audience votes on the proposal before the debate begins, and then after following the closing arguments. The team who has the largest increase in support wins. But really, it's not about winning. It's about helping listeners think about the other side and either changing their minds or strengthening their viewpoints. Now, each team is given the same amount of time, and the host, John Donovan, is such a chameleon because I'm never quite sure which side of the argument he stands on from one episode to the next. Now, here's an example of his intro.
So most of us would do almost anything for our kids to help them be their best, to help them get ahead. But what if even before they were born, we could go in and alter their genes in such a way to give them an even greater advantage, to give them strength against illness and disease, to make them smarter or taller or prettier? Well, that world is coming. Who's tempted and who is horrified? Yes or no to this statement? Prohibit genetically engineered babies.
Each team has two members that John introduces in the beginning of the show and gives their backgrounds, which obviously relates to the positions that they're going to be taking. It's not just, you know, some, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry, you know, just talking about it. These are experts. The one thing about this format that I like is that when the debate starts, the teams rotate. So you hear the opening argument from one side, and then the other side gets their chance at their opening argument. Now, some debaters are a bit wooden in that it sounds like they're reading from a carefully crafted script, while others are very natural sounding. Now, if I were on the stage, I would ask to go second because the person who speaks second gets a brief of what the other side is planning on talking about. And as a debater, you can start to pick apart the other team's argument at that point. Now, the third person not only has to address what the second person said to tear apart the other team's argument, but now they must address what they plan on discussing. For me, the best strategy, just as in chess, is to go second. The same thing happens in the final round of closing arguments. And I would employ the same strategy. Go second so you can tear apart your opponent's argument and show how you have proved them wrong. Now, as I said before, the goal is not to win. The goal is to make listeners think. And each time I listen to this podcast, my brain does hurt because it's working so hard to understand the side that I disagree with. And that feels good sometimes. I can change my mind, and other times my opinion is strengthened. In this clip, John talks about the purpose of Intelligence Squared.
This is a reminder to all of you that Intelligence Squared US is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization. Our mission is to restore critical thinking and facts and reason and civility to American public discourse. We would love your support. Please visit www.intelligencesquaredus.org to join the debate.
The next area I'd like to talk about is how the host interacts with their guests and show how they, you know, stay on topic. Now, I hinted at this just a few minutes ago. John has total control over the debaters and rarely, if ever, does it get overly contentious. Yes, the argument may get heated because the debaters fully believe in what they're discussing, but this is not your Sunday morning political talking heads program where everyone screams at each other and nothing gets resolved. This is a debate, in the classic sense of what debate is supposed to be. Each debater gets equal time, and it doesn't matter what John's personal beliefs are. He makes sure that everyone gets heard. An aspect I really like is that the audience has an opportunity to ask questions, whether they're in the auditorium itself or streaming the debate. Now, here's a question by an in-person audience member.
Let's go to some questions right here on the aisle, sir.
I'm Robert Klitzman from Columbia University. Great debate. Question for the opponents. I'm wondering if we should be allowed to enhance children genetically, not affect them. But for instance, many parents say they'd like to have kids who are blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Should that be allowed? Should there be a line drawn anywhere in terms of enhancement? And if so, where?
And here's how they handle questions from streaming audiences.
We're being live streamed on Fora.tv, and people who are watching us are sending in questions, and I want to read one that's just been handed to me, and it's Lee Silver. What about a scenario where employers would only hire enhanced people because they will be less prone to issues? Isn't there potential to create a fragmented society where only privileged populations can afford it?
Again, due to the pandemic, they've been adjusted in later episodes. And current episodes, they go back to in-person debates. But for a time, when the pandemic was raging, they lost out on that in-person reaction. Now, that's understandable, and I applaud them for putting the health of the audience and the debaters in the forefront of safety. I'm not asking them to risk anyone's health, but I think this could have been handled better. But that's enough, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking from me. Another aspect of the podcast I really liked is John's rephrasing of the arguments by both sides in the middle of the show. You can, you know, see how he does this in this clip.
And now we move on to round two. And in round two, the debaters address one another directly as they answer questions from me and from you, our live audience in New York. The team arguing for the motion, Andy Stern and Charles Murray, have argued that the working class and extensively the middle class is in trouble, that jobs are dying, incomes are dying. They argue that the universal basic income is a floor that would work as a hedge against poverty. They make the further argument that there's a social good, that the UBI would augment options, that it would augment independence, that it would remove excuses for irresponsible behavior. The team arguing for the motion, Jason Furman and Jared Bernstein, first of all, they make clear that they are not defending the status quo. They don't think everything's perfect as it is. They do think that reforms are needed. However, they are simply not as pessimistic as their opponents, either about the future of jobs or about the performance of anti-poverty programs already in place. And bottom line, they say that their opponent's plan just doesn't work because the math does not add up.
If you had missed the opening arguments, or maybe it went over your head, he really breaks down the arguments so that most people can understand what exactly is being debated. Now, I appreciate this because sometimes I'm mowing the lawn, and when this comes up in my feed, I can't pay full attention to what's happening. It's a nice way to restate the topic at hand and make sure we as listeners are on the right page. Now, how do the episodes reflect the overall mission of the podcast? Well, the topics they tackle are topics that we struggle with as a society every day. The five episodes I reviewed for this podcast range from legalization of psychedelics to whether we should prohibit genetically engineered babies. Now, I will have the links for each of the episodes in the show notes so you can sample for yourself and maybe even change your mind about one of these five topics. One of the topics, smart technology, is making us dumber, really spoke to me and gave me information on how many times the average American looks at their smartphones.
And the research bears this out. The average person with a smartphone will pull out the phone and look at it about 150 times a day.
And now here's the rebuttal from the opposing side.
The question, is our smart tech making us dumb? I want to not even refute that. I want to ask, why do we keep asking that? Because if smart means understanding more, we now have from the Higgs boson to the Hubble telescope, we have the ability through our smart technology to understand more about a universe that's 14 billion years old. And And if smart means better at our work, then I absolutely, and you absolutely, want your doctor, your auto mechanic, and your airplane pilot to have the smartest technology that there is. So why do we ask? I think in part it's because the shock of the new. And this is very, very new, what's going on.
This topic really hits home for me as a parent, because I know I'm guilty of looking at my smart device more than I should and passing that down to my kids. I know when you go through their catalog of episodes and debates, you'll find something that, you know, rings true to you. I mean, they do have 751 episodes. The last thing in this half that I want to talk about is the overall feeling of the episodes and how they welcome newcomers. Now, the feeling I get after listening to a number of episodes is that both sides of an argument were heard and respected. Each debater probably already knew what the opposing side would say or bring up, and many of the debaters run in the same circles and publish papers or books on their chosen specialties. The thing I hear is a lot of respect coming from the debater, from the debaters when they talk about their opponents, and they don't resort to cheap attacks on character. I really think that they believe that the person sitting opposite them is trying to make the world a better place, but that they just have a flaw in their logic. I think if we all take that position, when we find a person who disagrees with us, we may be a better member of society. Looking at the intro of each of the podcasts and welcoming newcomers, John does a pretty good job of letting us know what's happening and what to expect. Now, if you're, you know, testing the waters on this one, I think I have given you a good breakdown of what to expect, but listen in as John tells you in his words how he goes, how the show goes. Usually this is done towards the beginning of the opening arguments. I wish it was sooner, but it's not my show. If you like what you heard so far, then I'd like to ask you to reach out. You can email me directly, timothy@findapodcastabout.xyz, or leave me a voicemail at the website, findapodcastabout.xyz. I want to help you find your next binge-worthy podcast. And if you want me to find you a podcast in any category that you're interested in, let me know. Now, if you're a podcaster and feel that your podcast would be served by appearing on the show, I want to talk to you as well. Use the same methods to reach out. Now, I'm on Twitter @FindAPodcast, Facebook @FindAPodcastAbout. Another thing I'd like to ask is if you found value in this podcast, pass it along to a friend. Lastly, doing this podcast is a labor of love, but love ain't cheap. So consider donating to my Buy Me a Coffee Fund right on the website, or go to buymeacoffee.com/findapodcastabout. Each episode takes about 5 to 7 hours of research and about 2 to 3 hours of production time, about 10 hours for each episode. Let me tell you, that's a lot of coffee. And like I said, the best recommendation comes from a real person. So fill my coffee cup and I'll help you outsmart the algorithm. So here's where I turn you from a listener of Find a Podcast About to a binger of Intelligence Squared US. At the time I'm recording this episode, we have so much division in our country, politically, religiously, racially, you name it, there's a ton of division. The problem that I see is that we're not listening to each other. We listen to our friends or others who agree with our viewpoint. Sometimes we get our viewpoint from the talking heads on TV, or, you know, by listening to certain podcasts. But if we really want to improve ourselves, then we need to listen to the other side. And I say that with quotes. If you're looking for a podcast that tackles the tough topics, doesn't give easy answers, and makes you think at the end of the show, then this one's for you. You won't find people yelling at each other and talking over one another. You will find thoughtful arguments and ideas presented to you fairly. Like I said earlier, it may make you rethink your opinion on the subject, or it may strengthen your resolve on an issue. Either way, Intelligence Squared has succeeded in their mission to foster thoughtful debate. Where should you start your journey at? Well, with over 750 episodes, that can be daunting. However, on their website, you can select certain topics to listen to and get recommendations for, or you can start all the way from the beginning. Lastly, you can just scroll through the episodes to find a topic that you feel deeply about and see what happens. Now, my recommendation is to start with episodes that are pre-COVID. So you're looking for anything that is pre-March of 2020 and work out from there. As I think those are stronger episodes due to the, live nature of the program, which, we talked about in the last section. Now, I get excited about podcasts like this because they cause me to think and they challenge my preconceived notions of how things are in the world. If you're ready to jump into a podcast that can do that for you, then you found one right here. I applaud your bravery in giving this podcast a chance. Not everyone can be presented with the other side of their beliefs and listen to them. I know my audience is ready to do that, and that's why I keep looking out for podcasts like this to encourage your thinking process. Give it a try, and remember to let me know what you thought about it and what's your favorite episode. So that's the episode. I want to thank you again for taking a listen. And if you want to outsmart the algorithm and have me review a podcast, email me, Timothy@findapodcastabout.xyz, or go to the website, findapodcastabout.xyz, where you can listen to all the other episodes and leave me a voicemail. I'm here to help you find your next binge-worthy podcast.